Lori.
And I'm Jeffrey.
And welcome to Southern Charm Magic, where we talk about the magic and the mishaps of planning your next Walt Disney World vacation.
And hopefully bring a little magic to wherever you are in the world.
We'll give you our honest opinions about what we think,
but always with just a little bit of Southern Charm. To y'all who come to this happy podcast, welcome and welcome back. What is up, Lori?
What's up? It's cold here again.
It is cold in Louisiana where we record from. It is not the temperature Lori or I prefer.
No, I want to be in Disney World.
Can we just go to Disney right now?
Yeah, I should have.
I think that's our life motto, isn't it?
Yes, let's go to Disney.
Let's go to Disney right now. Lori, we have to talk about, I would say the elephant in the room, but really it's the purple dragon in the room.
Oh.
Disney World made news, like national news, like real life news, for one of the biggest lines they have ever had for anything, including Star Wars, including all their major attractions. And what was it that everyone lost their minds about?
My daughter's favorite character since she was probably one, Figment, the purple dragon. It's his popcorn bucket. It debuted for the Festival of the Arts.
And that is ongoing at Epcot right now. Y'all, we saw reports online. We were not there, but the reports online said that people were waiting 7 hours for a popcorn bucket. It's a great popcorn bucket.
I have a friend who is a cast member. She sent me a picture of like Google Maps or something because she was working that day. And the line, it was all red around the entire front part of Epcot.
And you never see that. That's not something you would see. And it's just insane that people would wait 7 hours. Of course, you know, people were selling them for a big amount on eBay after.
Yeah, they were.
And now, you know, the giveaways have started. And so, y'all, I don't know if we had one. I don't know if we do a giveaway for it.
I would not. I mean, my daughter, she loves it. Like, she was so upset because she couldn't get it. She turned 13 Sunday, and that's all she wanted. Well, so I was like, there's no way that we're going to get that. And she was so upset. She was like, who even likes Figment? I didn't even know people knew who he was. I mean, he has a 5-minute wait at his line, at his ride. Nobody even rides it. Why is he all of a sudden huge?
I will tell you something I noticed. So you're right on that normally. Normally no one rides Figment, but what happened when they added him to FastPass years ago, and now they've added him back with Lightning Lane,
That
has driven a lot of more people to go. We waited our longest line when we were there in December. We waited for a long time for Figment. Comparatively speaking, yeah, we did, because people are getting the Lightning Lane for him because there's, you know, only so many things you can get Lightning Lanes for.
In Epcot,
and they're going to go see him. And so it's, but I'm glad to see Figment get the credit he deserves.
I'm a Figment fan,
along with your daughter. But 7 hours for a popcorn bucket, Lori, there are a few things I wait 7 hours for. And that is not one.
That's your whole park day. Like, you have to be a local. You have to be somebody shopping. It's your whole park day. Like, there's no way you can wait 7 hours for a popcorn bucket. I almost lost my mind waiting. What did we get in Magic Kingdom? Oh, that freaking cup. That cup that I felt like I needed to have.
I love it. We got the Madame Leota sipper.
Yeah.
And that's a story for another day.
I waited for 30 minutes for that.
Well, we didn't end up Hey, we got some Disney magic that day.
We did, but I was going to lose my mind in that 30 minutes. Like, I cannot something that's going to clutter up my house, actually.
To our listeners out there, we did not actually wait 30 minutes. They told Lori it would be a 30-minute wait, and she, I guess,
extrapolated that.
Like, I love my Madame Leota sipper.
I am just totally beside myself over it.
Anyway, speaking of Haunted Mansion and merchandise, there is a new treat at Magic Kingdom, and actually Disney released a ton of new treats at the Magic Kingdom for the 50th anniversary. So, did you see all that they released, Lori?
I did. I saw the push pop for sure. It looks really cute. And I want to know how I'm going to have time to eat all this.
Well, exactly. So they have the Haunted Mansion push pop. They have a Donald Duck dome cake that looks real nice. And one of my favorite things I saw that at the, at Storybook Treats, I believe, is the Seven Dwarfs ice cream. Each of the dwarfs is going to have their own ice cream cone.
But do you want all of them? I want all of them. How do we eat all of them?
Well, do you have a favorite dwarf?
No, I like all of them.
You like them all equally. Well, mm. I've complained in the past about the different treatment of the seven dwarfs. Because yeah. At Storybook Dining at Wilderness Lodge, you can meet Snow White, the Evil Queen, and only two of the dwarfs.
Yeah.
It's Dopey and Grumpy, and I'm guessing the marketing did the research and saw who was popular. Well,
yeah, everybody's sleepy or mad. That's right.
You know, it's everyone loves Dopey, but yeah. You know, some people identify with other ones. You know, I love Doc. Doc has always been my favorite, and his ice cream cone came out this week, and so I don't know if I'm going to get Doc. Maybe I get Sleepy or Sneezy.
Oh, so are they doing them different each week? You can't get all of them?
Right, they're going to rotate them. And so, but all these treats are coming out for the anniversary, for the 50th anniversary, which is ongoing. And just like we said and predicted, you know, more news is coming out all the time about the 50th anniversary and things they're doing. And this is part of it. Also, Germany has new caramel treats. So there's a lot around the world. But we also got some bad news.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you think this next piece of news is something for the 50th anniversary?
Well, you know, 50th anniversary equals a $50.
A $5 Coke.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to joke about price increases because I don't find it funny at all.
Right.
But it almost is, you know, comical that apparently, according to reports, that they're charging $5 for a bottled Coke.
I believe it because you see that here. Like, you see, go to a restaurant, you're one person. But if you had a family of four and you go to any restaurant around here, I promise if everybody at my table, my two kids and my husband and myself would to order a Coke, it'd be an extra $20 for the total of my bill because that's how much they're charging for fountain. I mean, almost that. Like, it's everywhere and people don't realize it until they see it broke down like this.
And so that's a big example. But what we found out, you know, Disney raised prices $1 to $2 per item on many snacks across the resort. So the Cokes were the biggest example of that, the most specific that I was able to pinpoint for y'all.
The ice cream too.
Ice cream went up, popcorn went up. So you know, prepare your wallets when you go.
And that's their biggest sellers, ice cream, Cokes, and popcorn.
Yeah, it's huge. So I will tell you, if you go to one of the after hours events like Halloween, the Halloween party or the Christmas party, which we've talked about a lot on here, you get those free bottled drinks and they don't really monitor you. So I can just see it my next one. Yeah. I'm going to load my book sack up with Coke.
Oh my gosh, you sure will.
And be ready. And so,
I can give you a tip on how to avoid this $5 Coke or $5 water. You can bring food and drinks inside of the Magic Kingdom.
I love it. So that's important to know for our, we need to do the money saving episode, Lori. So y'all stay tuned. I think that's coming up real soon. So if you are stressed out from all these price raises and the fact that you have so many snacks to eat, so all kind of ways to spend money, you need to relax. And so where are you going to relax? At the spa. Have you ever been to the spa at Grand Floridian? There's two. Yeah. There's one at Grand Floridian and one at Saratoga. I've not seen that Saratoga's is open yet. But
I didn't know they had one there.
They do. And so the Grand Floridian spa is reopening on January 26th. So if you are in the mood for relaxation, I want to do that one day. I think that, you know, you and I approach Disney from a, you know, Disney for adults perspective.
Right,
but I think you have to include the spa in any type of thing there.
I want to eat at some of those higher end restaurants at Grand Floridian too.
Oh, there's a lot I need to get.
Yeah. Have you eaten?
No, just Cape May. I mean, not Cape May, 1900 Park Fair.
Oh, me too. And then we went to what is it? The Enchanted Rose there.
Enchanted Rose, which is one of our favorite bars.
Mm-hmm. It is mine.
So,
that'd be cool.
And yet more news we have, the Garden Rocks series was announced. So Garden Rocks are the musical artists that comes in for the Disney Flower and Garden Festival.
Yes.
And they have a ton of people coming in, dozens of people coming in. Lori, who are some of your favorites that are coming in to do concerts?
Colin Ray and the Plain White Tees.
Okay.
It's two that stuck out in my mind that I would see. Oh, Toby Mac too.
That's a big one. And so,
Blue October too.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but you know, hey, whatever works. But they have some other ones coming in. Cool and the Gang is coming in. The Pointer Sisters. I would love to go see Simple Plan. I think I could sneak away. Simple Plan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll send you, we're going to have to exchange some playlists.
Right. Cause you don't know who. Mm-hmm. This.
So there we are, but they have a ton coming in. So go check that online. They have some great concerts.
All the way to June. Seat.
Yeah. It's March through June and you can get some really good seats right up front, by the stage. And so you just get there early and get a good seat. Other news, another thing for the 50th anniversary that was announced, pressed coins
now available around the resort.
Your kids do that?
Mm-hmm.
That's,
they have like 2 or 3 books.
Do they? Oh, it's mm-hmm. fun. So pressed coins, you know, you explain how that works. You've done it.
You take it probably 50 cents to do a penny. It's 51 cents. You put your 2 quarters and a penny in there and then you get to pick the design you want on it. And they have them in all the different lands and the hotels, and it always themes to wherever, whatever land you're in. So I'm guessing they're going to have the 50th anniversary. Are they in Magic Kingdom?
That's where the advertisement was. They were on Main Street, but I think they understood they were going to expand, hopefully.
Is it a pressed penny or pressed quarter? Because the quarters are a little more money.
They said pressed coins. So maybe you get an option. Maybe get an option. I can't imagine. I just have a feeling it's going to be the more expensive one.
Probably. You can get, and they're very hard to find, but in some of the gift shops, you can find a pressed penny book to in their Disney themed, and they have Mickey ears, and you can store your, they have places for pennies and quarters, and both of my kids have 2 of them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a very, they're on our money saving episode, is a very cheap souvenir.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Over at Animal Kingdom, we have some news. I know Lori's not a big animal fan, so I'm just going to take this one. They have Milo, the white rhino. They have a new baby white rhino, and they showed him playing with his family out on the savannah at Animal Kingdom.
Oh, so, sweet. A rhino. Yeah. So sweet.
Okay, so you appreciate a good rhino?
No, that's mean. That's big and mean.
Y'all hear this?
He's not sweet.
Oh, Jesus. You have to look at the little rhino. Lori.
I like the other animal we're about to talk about.
Well, you go ahead and talk about that one because I don't
flamingos, know. The pink flamingos.
You want to talk about flamingos. So it was international star Shakira, who was featured in what Disney movie?
Hips Don't Lie. That's all I know her from.
Shakira is featured in the hit movie Zootopia. Song there. But Shakira is recently at Disney World and we got the biggest kick. She posts, you know, the castle picture, which everyone posts. And the other picture she posted was from the flamingo pond from the tour at Disney's Animal Kingdom from Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Nice.
So that's the picture she posted was the flamingo pond. And I have to think of all the cool sights you see in Disney World, you know, Pandora at Animal Kingdom, Star Wars, at Hollywood Studios. She wanted to post the flamingo pond. And then sure enough, Disney releases a flamingo cupcake that week. And
they had to name it Shakira, right?
Something. They had to. They had
to.
In honor of Shakira, who is, you know, this Disney character and was this Disney person. But it just cracked me. Like, who goes to Disney post pictures of the flamingo pond?
Shakira. So if you are,
Shakira needs to know about Spanish Town.
Shakira.
Well, we have some more, y'all. There's no shortage of good news this week. I mean, we talked about some bad ones, but there's a lot of good news this week. Lori, tell us about these restaurants reopening.
What is it? Geco at Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Animal Kingdom Lodge. Yeah.
Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Yeah.
Flying Fish at Boardwalk. I've been waiting for that since last Mardi Gras, so a year. I wanted that to open. So that's opening back finally because the Boardwalk's such a cool place. I'm ready for everything to get back to normal over there.
Yes.
Have you eaten there? Because I know you've
I've never eaten there. Okay. Never eaten there.
The Turf Club at Saratoga Springs.
Never eaten there.
Really? Me either. Mm-hmm. Ale and Compass at the Yacht Club. I have eaten there.
I have too. Very nice. I think it's a more refined, kind of more adult atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cape May Cafe, the dinner is back.
Yes. So breakfast has been back.
That's a cute restaurant to me.
It's a what?
It's very cute. I like it. It reminds me of the 80s.
It's beachy theme, like beach in the 80s.
Or the 90s. And and I had a Barbie doll that it looks like her Barbie doll house. But
I think that's... And there's also Disney just recently announced another... Well, they've previously announced it, but they released some more details about another restaurant coming to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, the Roundup Rodeo.
Roundup Rodeo Barbecue.
Barbecue.
And I can't believe they didn't call it Woody's Roundup.
I know.
I saw the internet was calling it Woody's Roundup because, you know, the famous song from the movie,
right,
Woody's
right.
Roundup. It's not called Woody's Roundup, and it seems to be more Jesse focused. And speaking
yeah,
of
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it seems more Jesse focused. But speaking of Jesse, she's getting her own trading post, quote unquote, whatever that means. So
yeah, what does
probably,
that mean? Did you figure out what it meant?
The guess is that it's some type of gift shop. So
okay.
Jesse's gonna have a gift shop. It's because it's a really small gift shop outside of Toy Story Midway Mania.
Right. Yeah.
So they have that.
It's just a cart, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's just a cart. The Toy Story one is just a cart, isn't it?
I think they have another little like stand in there where you could buy something. But there's not much to it.
Yeah.
And so
I'm excited about the food. There's not a lot of food options in Hollywood.
They need more. They need more. And this looks like a casual. A barbecue is normally affordable, normally casual. And so I think this will be a good place to do it. Hopefully. So that's going to open in 2022, they said. So they didn't give us a more exact date.
Where's it going to be?
I think I know where it's going to be. So if you walk into Toy Story Land, not from Star Wars, like kind of from behind the theater where Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway is, there's a big fenced in area on your right, like you're facing Woody, and you have the bathrooms on your left where you used to walk into Toy Story Mania. And then there's like this fenced in area on your right, and that looks really prime for where
it would kind of be behind Walt's.
Right, behind One Man's Dream. That's where I think it's going to go, because otherwise I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
So that makes a lot of sense to me, but we'll keep an eye on it. So maybe we'll go look for it.
Something else is going on in Hollywood.
What's going on?
Olaf.
Olaf is back.
Yay.
I don't think he's given out the warm hugs yet.
No.
No warm hugs.
But that's going to be an outside meet and greet, so you should be able to take your picture socially distanced without your mask on.
I hope so. I hope you have that. And so
I hope so. I don't know. We haven't been, but I think so.
So if you're an Olaf fan, because the Frozen sisters are meeting people in Epcot.
Yes.
So they're in Epcot, and you know, you can get fairly close to them outdoors, you know, without your mask and stuff. So you could do a selfie with them. But now you can get Olaf, not all together. They're not all together, but maybe one day. I can't imagine how popular that picture would be to get all three of them together. I don't think I've ever even seen that outside of like a promotion or something. One last piece of news also from Epcot. This is another thing that about broke the internet this week. Laura, are you a Muppets fan?
I am. I mean, I was a Muppets fan before they were Disney, like, you know, back in the day when
before it was cool. But no, they and so you obviously know the song Rainbow Connection then, if you're
fan. I did see this. I'm excited about this.
And so now during the Arts Festival, they have a new show on Spaceship Earth, and if you listened to our previous episode, you know I absolutely love the lights they did with Spaceship Earth. They're just mesmerizing. But they have this new show for Rainbow Connection, and they do like a little rainbow light show on Spaceship Earth while playing the Muppets singing Rainbow Connection.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
And so my immediate reaction when I saw it was like, hold up, the Muppets do not belong on Spaceship Earth. But as it turns out, the Muppets are already in Epcot. You know, obviously they're at Regal Eagle over in the American Pavilion.
Yeah.
So it's not unprecedented for the Muppets to be there. Not the most on-theme thing ever, but there we are.
Right, but I think it looks cool, the rainbow lights and stuff. I think that's pretty cool.
And I'm just looking forward to what else they can do with those lights. I mean, I think the possibilities are endless. The lights are beautiful, and I hope you get to see that too. Well, Lori, our main episode tonight, I'm so excited about it. We are going to be talking about planning, like all things planning your Disney trip. And we have a special guest.
Yeah.
Yes, I should have led off with that, but we have a special guest with us. So we are going to see what that special guest has to say about planning a trip. So
we might all have different opinions, and you can form your opinion based off all three of ours.
Yes, you can. And so we will find out what that is in just a second. Lori, when's the last time you read a good book?
Well, it's been a little while.
All right. Well, I have a suggestion for you. Our friend Danielle has a great Instagram page where she recommends the best things to read right now. You can find her on Instagram at MannyIsBooked, MannyIsBooked. Manny is booked on Instagram.
And as a little bonus, ladies, she also gives great inspirations to get in-home manicures.
Awesome. Well, check her out on Instagram now. Welcome back, Lori. We have our special guest with us today.
Yay, I'm excited. We have a guest.
Y'all welcome my friend, Danielle. Danielle, say hey to everybody.
Hi, everyone.
And so Danielle is one of the very few people that I would actually go to Disney World with. I will not go to Disney World with just anybody, but Danielle and I have been to Disney World together twice. Danielle?
Yes. And then, I think it was like when I was a senior and you were
a junior. Yeah. Junior. So we went to high school together. Wow. I think you need to come back and do an episode about that trip.
Recently, didn't you?
Yeah. And then recently.
And then recently, Danielle was the friend I was there. If you heard, I was there with a friend for the 50th anniversary. That was Danielle.
Oh, yeah.
And Danielle and I and another friend actually made the trip to Disneyland together a few years ago.
Oh, awesome.
So I need Danielle to come back for a Disneyland episode as well.
I want to go back to Disneyland so bad.
I do too. Bad.
It's a good trip. So I brought Danielle in. We're going to be hosting what I call our debate episode, at least the first of our Disney debate. And it's going to be all about quick trip planning, quick tips for your trip. So call it whatever you want. But we have a lot of just quick tips that we can give y'all and kind of a debate issue where you can go either or. And Danielle has always, always given me her honest opinion. And me and Lori value that. More than anything, but as always, with a little bit of Southern charm. Yeah. But before we begin, Danielle, how did you get to love Disney World? Like, where did that come from, and how big a fan are you?
I've always loved Disney World. We went a couple of times whenever I was younger. My parents had a thing about taking us when we were 7. Well, me and my sister are very close in age. We're only 16 months apart. So we actually went when I was 8 and she was 7 for the first time. And then we went again like a couple of years later, and then I didn't go again until high school. I think I went on a trip. My 10th grade year was the first one, was a school trip. Me and Jeffrey talked about the senior and junior year one because he's a year younger than me. That trip I went, that was same with the high school. It was just the junior group. I mean, the sophomore group that went, and then I went again as a senior because they needed people to fill in space. And I was like, I'll go to Disney.
For sure. Where did y'all go far?
Huh?
What'd y'all go far? Was it a club or?
It was the first one I went with the high school. The first one, the sophomore, the 10th grade trip was for biology. So we like went behind the scenes at Animal Kingdom and we went like to the upper, like in the seas, we went and saw like we could see the dolphins.
Yeah. Jump. I never had cool field trips like that.
Yeah. And then the one me and Jeffrey, and I think Jeffrey, we were on the same group because it was two separate things. And this one was like theater or something, wasn't it?
Right. It was a theater-based communications, theater and communications-based. And we did a lot of like communication skills. And me and Danielle about died, as did our other friends, because they lock you in a room and do courses in the morning. And Danielle are like, we have to go get on the rides. Like,
that's terrible.
Yeah, so you start out and it's in the morning, which you know is the best time to go.
Right.
We're in class, and so we that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But Danielle, cool. What is two questions that I like to ask our guests? And by the way, you're only our second guest, but this is, I'm making it a thing.
Yay!
Who is your favorite Disney character?
Okay, I have probably overall. I have two. I'm gonna go with two because I can't pick.
Oh.
It's Tinkerbell or Piglet.
Wow.
I will say I like cried when I met Piglet one time because I was just love him so much. So, but I always have had that thing for fairies. So I like Tinkerbell and her little sassy self too.
Yeah, that's awesome. I never talk about it. Winnie the Pooh characters are real high up there on my list for me.
Yeah.
The Piglet and Tinkerbell statues are very, I think they're very close at Magic Kingdom for the 50th anniversary.
Really?
I think
Piglet I saw
a statue, right?
I think I saw the Winnie the Pooh one, might have saw Piglet. I didn't see Tinkerbell. She's hidden somewhere, isn't she?
I did find Tinkerbell. She's by Winnie the Pooh, and I thought Piglet was over there too, but that's, all right, we'll follow up on that one.
Yeah.
The next question is, what is your favorite Disney World attraction?
My favorite Disney World attraction overall is probably Carousel of Progress.
Yay!
That's why we're friends. That is why we are friends, right there. Yes. No other reason.
Yes. I think I would actually go postal if they removed it.
Oh, me too. I'd quit. Okay. I'd quit it all. But I have a bonus question. Since you've been to Disneyland, what's your favorite Disneyland attraction?
Disneyland attraction? I liked, I'll tell you what I didn't like, and Jeffrey knows this, but I liked, the Indiana Jones.
Oh.
That was so much superior to Dinosaur.
Yeah. I like Pirates of the Caribbean. I think that that is just a lot of water, the way it's done there. And
that one was good too.
Yeah, we need to talk about that trip in detail. that's a whole other experience. And how Jeffrey went to go complain to guest services at Disneyland while Danielle was passed out in
front of Turtle Talk. Turtle Talk.
Like, why were you passed out? You were tired?
I get motion sickness.
Oh.
And it was not well explained, because I know how to handle my motion sickness and how to prevent it. And it was not.
Oh, what ride did it?
The Grizzly Run, the one that's kind of like Cali.
Grizzly River Run. But it basically is Cali River Rapids meets the teacups.
Oh, wow.
No
I didn't
told
that.
Us about the teacups.
I didn't ride that.
Disaster is a disaster.
It just spins. I mean, at one point, me and Jeffrey even looked like Jeffrey can say it was bad.
Yeah.
Like, it just went into a circle while you're getting wet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Circle. Awesome. Yeah, it was bad. Well, let's go back to Disney World, back to Walt Disney World. And so we have several topics that I think a lot of people have questions on when they're planning a Disney trip. And so this is obviously a Disney World planning podcast. So we want to get into it. And I know Danielle has opinions about a lot of these, as do me and Lori. The first big one, though, if you're coming to Disney World from out of state, as most of us are you flying or driving? We'll let our guests go first. Danielle, fly or drive to Disney World?
I honestly can go either way. I would probably pick flying first, but I really don't have a problem with driving. I have a problem with overpacking, and so it's a lot easier to throw a bunch of stuff in your car. But I really either, it's kind of 50-50 for me.
Okay. Lori, where are you?
I agree with the same thing, 50-50. I think I don't love flying, but I like it much better than driving the long distance. So the flight is much easier than driving, but I overpack. Like, unbelievably overpacking. Like, when I'm going for Mardi Gras, I'm taking all kinds of decorations with me to decorate my window that Jeffrey doesn't know about happening. But so it's a 50-50 to me.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it depends on where you live.
Well, we're doing great for a debate plan. All right, so we want to tell people to pick. I'm picking a side very clearly, and that's why I'm glad y'all are here. I'm picking a side very clearly, fly. And so Lori and I discussed a lot last time about why you should get Genie Plus, because you avoid lines. And I recommend that. Go back and listen to episode 9 if you haven't yet. But I have no patience. So I want to, and especially when you get to Disney World, you want to get to Disney World as fast as possible.
As fast as possible.
And if you have a direct flight from wherever.
If you drive, you get there as fast as possible. I am here to, I'm alive to tell you today that Jeffrey, if he drives, he does get there as fast as possible.
Well, I will say, when you really think about it, how much of a pain in the butt Orlando Airport can be. It's not much of a time difference.
Well, I've never had a problem there.
I don't, because I have global entry and pre-check, so it takes
me too. So yeah. I guess I don't. Yeah.
But like
I hear and read about the terrible stories about it.
Right. And when you add our 2-hour drive to New Orleans, or an hour and a half, like it really comes down to about a 4-hour difference between.
Right. So I agree, but I mean, if you're more than 10 hours away,
a lot of people still
come and drive, but
So being both an attorney and a Libra, I can argue both sides of things. I am coming down on the side of flying, but the ladies are absolutely right. If you drive, you get to pack whatever you want, and more importantly, you get to buy whatever souvenirs you want on the way home, whether that be a glass souvenir, some type of liquid souvenir, whether that's alcohol or the Disney shampoos or soaps or whatever. So there really are pros and cons to both, but I have no need to go, make that drive, pull over every 2 hours for a restroom or gas station. It's just not my thing. So moving on. So we get to Disney one way or another. I guess this really depends on if you're flying. So pretend that you've flown, because both of you have flown to Disney. Do you rent a car or not? Laura, you want to take this one first?
I am definitely not. I love all of Disney transportation. I like to get there and not have to worry about anything at all. So I like to use all of Disney transportation.
Well, that's why I'm so glad I have Danielle here, because Danielle, tell them what you think. I already know the answer.
You rent that car. I hate Disney transportation with a burning passion.
Oh my God.
Especially the bus. I hate them. I them. I hate them. I said earlier about getting sick in Disneyland. I get car sick. And so those bus, some of those transportation, it's just a lot. And then you add to the fact, then you add to the fact of horror stories. We talked about me and Jeffrey going in high school and staying at All Stars and being crammed onto a bus with 100 people.
Yeah, I 100% agree with the value resorts in the bus
system. Yeah, 100, and it's just, if I could avoid a bus, having to wait for the bus, when I am done with Disney, I am done, and I want to get in my car and go. I would rather spend the $13 to $20 renting that car, parking it at the hotel, driving it for free and parking there. Always drive. Always, always, always.
I do. I mean, I agree with you, the value resorts and the bus system. But if I walk out and there's a lot of people in line or and it's long, I am getting Uber or Lyft and just get on to my hotel. But now that I'm old, I'm much older than you, both of you. And I try to not to stay at value resorts for that reason.
Oh, no, I don't either.
I love the value resorts, the theming of them. I think they're cute. I think Disney has done an incredible job. But it's the transportation system that I cannot do.
So we're gonna talk about that one next, but right quick, just add my two cents on the renting a car. I agree with Lori on this one. Disney transportation can be difficult at times. You do have to have patience to wait for the buses and whatnot. And yes, there are buses where you are jammed in, standing room only, elbow to elbow, but it does work, and it is most importantly free. So as an annual pass holder, which I am, Danielle, are you still current on your annual pass?
No, I got rid of it when COVID started.
And now you can't get another one.
Right, and I can't get another one.
Because I was going to get another one for this trip, and they quit selling them.
And so if you rent a car, you need to realize that's an added expense to your vacation. But parking, in addition to the paying for the cost of the rental car, you have to pay for parking at each park you go to.
No.
Not if...
Do we have an
got to pay for parking at the hotel.
Yeah.
Not if you're... If you're staying at a hotel, you do not have to pay parking at the parks.
A Disney hotel.
Right.
Okay, so last time I drove, I was at a non-Disney hotel.
And yeah,
so
then you have to pay for parking.
But I had, as an annual pass holder, I had free parking anyway. Right. So, but anyway, so keep that in mind if you are driving and staying in a Disney hotel versus a non-Disney hotel.
Right.
But that's one, another good question. So on property or off property? And so, Danielle, you want to take this one? Would you stay at a Disney resort or a non-Disney resort? Is that an important thing to you?
Okay. I'm going to go on property, but it's kind of, when I started going to Disney a lot, like multiple times a year, it was because my grandmother had a timeshare for a few years at the Wyndham Bonnet Creek, which is on Disney property.
Yeah, good neighbor resort.
Yeah. So, and that was great. And I loved that hotel. And it's definitely not like themed like Disney or anything like that. But it was like basically a timeshare condos. So like you had a full kitchen. We had 3 bedrooms. We could fit 10 people if we needed to. So I do see, and we love, like I love that hotel. And even now we'll sometimes look at it because it can be cheaper for a nicer room than even like the moderate Disney hotels. So, but I do like a Disney hotel. I love them. So if someone's going once in a lifetime or only a few times, go Disney.
And Lori, what are your thoughts on this?
So I am completely opposite of that. And it's not because I really do plan Disney vacations, but I am totally 100% on property. I think that you can get a lot. I agree with what she's saying. You can get a bigger room to hold a lot of people, or a lot of people do the Airbnbs these days, but I like to be in the magic 24/7. I do not like to be down Celebration Avenue or what's that other one that's where everything is in Orlando. I like to, International Drive.
Yeah.
I like to be
International Drive
in Disney World at all times. I don't like my car to move. I like to stay there. I like to be in the magic. I do think that Disney is very comparable these days to a lot of the hotels outside in Orlando. People don't realize it, but those value resorts, you can sometimes get way cheaper than you can get the other resorts outside of property. And you get a lot of extra benefits anymore, but you do get the benefits, but you're in the magic 24/7. That if I go to Disney World, I'm going to be there 24/7 magic.
And this highlights exactly why I wanted Danielle here. Cause on this one, agree with Lori more. I went in June of 2021 and stayed off property. I have no desire to do so again. And it came down to this, was transportation. And so, yeah, I had my car and could park for free, but you know, sometimes I just don't want to drive. You know, if I'm getting in my car, I'm like, oh, do I have enough gas? What am I listening to on the radio? I have to like get lost around Disney World, which is easier to do than you think. I'd rather just take all the worries away and have Disney transportation bring me everywhere. And Lori, as Lori says, you stay in the magic. I call it the Disney bubble. I love staying on property in a Disney resort because you have like the Disney, you know, channels are on TV with the resort music playing. You know, you have the theme, you know, you have the Disney service. And most importantly for me, the transportation. But if you are looking to save money, off property is a tremendous way. I've seen people stay in massive condos for like $100 a night. I mean, there's just a ton of great places to stay off property if you're into that. But if you're not wanting to drive anywhere or whatever, I recommend on property.
Since my grandmother lost the timeshare, we do stay mostly on property.
I stayed when I was younger off property with timeshare issue, but they don't, I mean, those are kind of a thing of the past these days.
Yeah.
You don't hear about them as much. You hear about Airbnbs.
Right.
I just don't have any desire to stay in a house like I stay at home and cook. I don't do it at home, much less on vacation. Like, that's just not my thing. But I know that there are families that have it, but there are Disney properties that have the same thing, and they have the value resorts with the kitchens now.
Right.
Like, so you can get the same thing and not have to worry about leaving and going and being on property. At least you can go back during the day if you want to rest your kid or something. Like, I'm not trying to get in my car and go all the way back to an Airbnb or some other resort. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So speaking,
and I will say the only ones I've stayed at have been on property.
Yeah, the one, right.
Which is a difference. I'm not driving really any further than I would drive.
I mean, because they're right outside. Like, people don't realize how close those resorts are that you're saying.
Right. What Danielle's saying is that they're technically on Disney's property, but they're non-Disney hotels.
They rent it out to them or something.
Right. They do something.
and so we've talked a lot about value resorts versus deluxe. So this question is obviously depends on your budget, but say money is no object. Money's no object. You have a few extra dollars to spare. You know, maybe, you know, you can't afford something extra. Would you stay at a value resort or a deluxe resort? Lori, take it away. And I'll get to where my question is, where my opinion.
Absolutely deluxe. And again, that is more because I'm older now and my kids are older. If my kids were younger, I may sway my answer a little bit because I feel like the moderate and value are more geared towards kids. But right now at this point in my life, definitely deluxe.
Okay, Danielle.
I've never stayed at a deluxe. I've stayed at moderates and the values. I refuse to walk into an all-star. Just putting that out there. But I will stay in Pop Century.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I refuse. But my dream is to stay in one of the cabins at
Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, and the other one that not Fort Wilderness.
The
one on the lake at the lodge. So, and so I don't know why I have some weird obsession with those.
They look nice. They do look nice.
Yeah. So, the Copper Creek or something.
Yeah, Copper Creek.
The villa at Copper Creek.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I would love to be able to do that one day. But I guess I'm kind of, you know, dream would be a deluxe, of course.
Yeah, deluxe is the goal, but those rooms are several hundred dollars a night, and it all comes down to location. You know, if you're staying at Beach Club, where you can walk to Epcot in a matter of minutes, if not seconds, or you're at you can walk to Hollywood Studios, or you're at Contemporary or Bay Lake Tower, where you have a view of Magic Kingdom, deluxe is the way to go. But what I want to tell people, you know, if they're worried about where their money should go. If you're at Disney World, you are not there to stay in the hotel room. And that's why I wouldn't rule the values out. You know, values can be rough with the transportation. You know, like I said, wall to wall people on the bus and all that. But I'm not at Disney to spend a lot of time in the hotel room. For me, it's a place to crash. at night, maybe, you know, rest a little bit during the day, and then I'm in and out. So having a, you know, a hotel room that costs several hundred dollars a night is just, you know, not worth it to me. But if mom's paying, then we definitely need to stay at a deluxe resort. So hope you're listening,
Mom.
I get it, Mom.
So
that's where I'm at on that. And I think that if you have room in your budget, you know, go for the deluxe, but realize it all comes down to how much time you're going to spend in the room.
I agree. I don't spend a lot of time in the room at all. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Pop Century is usually where I look first, because it's, you know, kind of the mid, it's the lowest, even though it's technically a value, but.
Right. But it's better than the All-Stars.
All-Stars. Yeah.
And Lori and I stayed in Pop Century, on our last trip in September of 2020, our last trip together. And we thought it was great.
Yeah.
For the most part. So next question, to beat the crowds, you want to beat the crowds at Disney, or maybe just improve your day's experience, or to rope drop or not to rope drop? That is the question. Danielle, what do you think?
I don't rope drop. I've never made it. Yeah.
What?
I have.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I go along with my mom. That's kind of, she's my Disney partner in crime.
Yeah,
and we always are like, we're going to do it. We're going to make it. And we never do. But we are also one of those people that once we enter the park, we don't leave.
Oh yeah. See, I'm a rope dropper, but I leave.
Yeah. We don't leave. So we might be an hour after rope drop, but we're leaving when that park closes. If we leave earlier, like, we're done for the day. We're not coming back.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're there and we're staying there.
Wow.
So.
And I learned that the hard way, because I'm pretty sure I texted Danielle on our last trip, hey, I'm here. And you're like, great, we'll be there in 2 hours. And I'm like, what?
I bet you were dying. Oh my gosh.
So when you see pictures of Jeffrey by himself in Disney from that October trip, it was not exactly by design. Like, so obviously Danielle.
What, do y'all sleep in and then just take your time getting ready to go, or what?
Yeah, just kind of all of it, sleeping in and then just taking your time ready to go and then getting there. But like I said, we're going to stay the whole time. And we're staying there until midnight sometimes.
Yeah. The days of the midnight days and stuff.
Yeah. We're going to be the last ones out. And so we just don't make it. We're not morning people. Like, waking up at like 6 to make it to 8, like to go rope drop at 8.
What time did I tell you I wake up today, Jeffrey?
You said she woke up at 3:30 this morning.
I woke up at 6 this morning. That's what time I wake up like every morning. But still, like, I don't want to do it on vacation.
I'm ready to go on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Disney sleep is non-existent.
All right.
So, Laura, you're a rope dropper, to say the least.
For sure. And you can see some of the most magical things if you rope drop. My family got picked to open Magic Kingdom because we were accidentally an hour early. So we opened Magic Kingdom. We rode in with Mickey Mouse on the train. Like, you can get so much magic whenever you rope drop.
I am a huge rope drop fan. It's, for me, again, it all comes down to my lack of patience. I like to beat a line and beat all the crowds, and rope drop is the way to do that. Currently, Disney guests at select resorts can get early entry by 30 minutes.
I think it's all the resorts.
Is it all of them now? And so I think it's evening extra magic hours is limited.
Yeah, for the select.
But if you're a Disney resort guest, you can get in 30 minutes early. And so even then, it's important for everyone to know while planning, while the park opens 30 minutes early, it really opens 30 minutes before that, give or take a few minutes. They let people in to line up for the ride. So for example, if, you know, the main park opens at Magic Kingdom opens at 9, resort guests can get in at 8:30. Well, they'll start letting people in, you know, 8 or 7:30 to go in, get Starbucks, and line up for their spot. So keep in mind that it's rope drop doesn't mean get there at 9 o'clock. It means get there an hour early.
Right.
Which is why it's hard for us. We make it for 9.
and if you rely on Disney transportation normally runs about 1 hour before parks open.
I'm normally first in the Disney transportation line.
You're the first one on there. So that's...
family doesn't like me about it, but...
You got to do it. I think you got to do it. Danielle says no, but Danielle is a closer. And I think me and Lori both take breaks in the middle of the day.
Right.
Because if you're going to be there, I mean, like, so when me and Danielle were there, Danielle, Harmonious wasn't until like 9:45?
Yeah. No, or like 8:45, even though we
I'm dying for them.
And so it was like really late, but I know in my last trip it was at 9:45 and I was like, what on earth?
So did you leave and go rest and they stayed there, Jeffrey?
Yeah. You take a break. I mean, I've gotten to the point where every day I take a break and but I'm rope dropping. So,
right.
You know, that's a long, long day in the parks. If you're in the parks for 12 hours straight. So it's a lot. But speaking of rope dropping, my next question ties into this. Laura, I think it's your turn to go first. Breakfast reservations. Should you make breakfast reservations on the morning you go to a park?
Absolutely. Especially if it's in the park. Yes. You can get in and be in and see everything without everybody else. Like you can take great pictures if you make breakfast reservations early.
So what you're saying is make breakfast reservations like as early as possible, maybe before the park opens.
Before the park opens,
to the public.
They have special lines for people with breakfast reservations.
And you can go get the picture, you know, of Main Street more empty, you know, empty Main Street. And the breakfast you would do that would normally be, right, would be what? Definitely Crystal Palace maybe be our guest.
I don't think they have it right now.
Oh, do they not?
It used to. It's my favorite.
I don't think it's open back, but Crystal Palace would be the only one right now. Yeah.
Because it used to be the Plaza too, and it's not open with breakfast either.
No, okay. It's just Crystal Palace. But I mean, even Epcot, like I used to always make Garden Grill reservations as early as I could for breakfast so I can go in and take a picture with the ball. I mean, the ball, you know.
And Danielle, what's your take on that?
I agree. I like breakfast reservations. We did Tusker House this last trip, October trip, and it was wonderful. My mom's like, kind of, because I like the characters, but it's not like, give me all the characters.
I mean, that's how I am at this point.
Yeah.
We've been so many times in Paris with y'all.
Yeah. I don't need to go see the characters, but I was like, but I've been hearing such good things about the Tusker House breakfast, and I was let's just do it. And so, and we loved it. And my mom was like, this was one of the best things we've done because it was just a good breakfast.
It is. It's really good. I went right before the shutdown.
So yeah.
We're going again. I have a reservation. Are you going? You're going to be gone that day, I think, Jeffrey. But yeah, I'm going again because you can get in Animal Kingdom. And that's a hard rope drop.
Uh-huh. That's at 8 a.m. rope drop. It's or 7.
Everybody going the same exact direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have different advice. I do not like breakfast reservations, except for maybe on the day you leave. So if you're leaving and you're not in a rush, but morning time, again, it all comes down to the lines. Morning time's a great time to get on the rides without big lines. It's not hot out. What I've done in the past, recommended to people, if you do a breakfast, do a late breakfast. Because if you're like me, you're a rope dropper.
Yeah, I understand that.
And if you're eating breakfast, there's no short breakfast out there. I mean, you could do a buffet at Crystal Palace, which is quicker. But if you're going to do a sit-down breakfast, it's going to take a while. And those
like Ohana takes 3 hours.
Yeah, that's a longer breakfast. So my goal is to either, if you really, really just are dying to have a great picture and get in the parks when it's empty, do an early morning one. But otherwise, do a late morning one after you have gone in, rope dropped, hit the lines, and done a little bit, maybe worked up an appetite, and do a good breakfast. And hopefully our characters come back to the breakfast soon.
But some of the parks that I rope drop, I'm not rope dropping to go to the rides, honestly. Magic Kingdom, I am not rope dropping to go to the rides.
What are you rope dropping?
To go for pictures and to see all of Magic Kingdom without it being so busy, you know, just
I'm gonna have to
one in line for the picture with the castle. And
Lori, I hope I can find the video we made like a Reels before Reels was like popular of you feeding the birds in the Magic Kingdom when we rope dropped it because we rope dropped and got in.
I don't remember this
and there was maybe that's because of how much you had to drink the night before, but I don't
probably
know. Joking they wouldn't let us into the ride. There's no point. Like we rope dropped and they wouldn't let us in line. Mainly I think due to social distancing at the time. And so Lori's had some leftover Starbucks muffins and fed the birds. And it was a magical experience for everyone. So moving on here, the, one question I get asked a lot, and I think Lori, you get asked this a lot. It's a debated question. Should you get a park hopper pass or not? Should you get the park hopper? Danielle, what do you think?
No.
No. Danielle says no park hopper. Why not?
Well, like I said, I go to a park and I stay my butt there all day.
So you mean it. You mean it.
Yeah.
So y'all won't go, like, if you're at Magic Kingdom, you won't go, like, take the monorail over to Grand Floridian or Contemporary and hang out?
Not really. If we're doing a day like that, we're doing a day like that. Okay. Like, we've done things where, like, we've done a lot of the tours.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, like, I've done the Wild Africa Trek tour. I've done the Backstage Magic, which is the 7-hour adventure.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like, well, we need you to come back and talk about that, because they're, you know, they announced some of those are coming back.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
I've done most of the tours, honestly.
Lori, that was in episode 9 last week. So, you did know.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just saw the one. I didn't know a lot of them.
Okay. Let me try and save Lori here as a good friend and co-host.
Not the 7-hour one. I didn't know that one.
The Backstage Magic Tour has not been announced. It's coming.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Lori's good. the other ones are coming back. So, Danielle, if you can tell us about that in a future episode.
Yes, I would love to. Anyway, so that's usually the days, like, if we're doing a tour like that, that's the days when we're going to the hotels.
Okay.
Now, we will sometimes, like, grab breakfast at, like, Captain Cook's, because my mom likes the, is it Tonga Toast?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But they have that Animal Kingdom, too, now.
So. Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't know that. So, like, we will do that sometimes, but, like, when we get to a park, we're staying there.
Fascinating. So, Lori, what about you?
I am definitely opposite of her. Definitely.
That's why we're doing it. So what's your take on park hopping? Why would you do it?
No. I'm sorry. I meant to say I'm completely with her. I do not.
Okay. Well, those are two different words. Okay.
Yeah. She caught confused me with the when she went to the hotel.
Danielle is anti park
hopping. Not a park hopper. Definitely not a park hopper with how they do it right now. Not, you can't park hop until 2:00. Mm-hmm. I can maybe agree with it if you could get a reservation at Epcot for a dinner that you wanted or a breakfast early and then you want to go to Magic Kingdom. But the 2:00 thing, I'm not. But I think, because I am one with kids, it is too hard and it takes too much time for you to go over here and then bring your kids over here. Like, no. That's when people start hating Disney with kids, because it's just too much. Like,
so let me ask you this, Lori, as a vacation planner, what is the price difference from like a 1-day ticket to park hop? Like, what are we looking at the cost of to park hop between, you know, 1-day or multi-day ticket? I mean
it's a pretty decent chunk. Like, it's a lot. I mean, I would say for a family of four, it's probably between $500 and $600, and that's a pretty chunk. I mean, and my numbers could be off because I don't have them. I mean, you know, when I play,
I think it's like $100 a person.
Well, I'm
saying, so a family of four with tax, it's about $500.
It depends on the day too. Now,
I can't tell you exactly.
But the point being that it does cost more, so you do have to make a financial justification. So again, that's why the point of this podcast is to debate. And I am 100% pro park hopping. Especially, I've always been like that for Animal Kingdom. I'm continuous. I will maintain that Animal Kingdom is a half day park until they build like two more lands. I do mean two. I don't want to see one new land. I want to see two, and they haven't announced anything for it. Don't get me started. But now I've gotten to the point where I can't tolerate Hollywood Studios for very long now.
I mean, you know, I left.
It is overwhelming. Yeah, Lori, I think you left at like 11 a.m. when we were here.
Days, I find other things to do in Disney.
And so I have gotten to where in life, as an adult, love Epcot. Epcot. So I would honestly start any day at any of the parks. I mean, I love Animal Kingdom too. I do. I love all of them. But I love just wandering around Epcot, the snacks, the sights, the sounds. Epcot is growing now. There's new attractions there. There's new attractions coming. There's no shortage of things to do or things to eat.
Especially since they have festivals all year, basically.
All year.
Yeah.
Another thing about park hopping, if you're only going to be there two, three days, if somebody's doing a short trip, I do think, yes, 100% park hopping. So you can get, but if you're there for like 4 days, because that's every single park. If you're not there to do a park every single day, then yes, park hopping. And I do agree with you, Jeffrey, about Epcot. Like, if my kids weren't with me, I would end the day at Epcot every single day. Obviously, I like to drink. We all know this.
And
every podcast has said it.
And so recently only Magic Kingdom and Epcot have nighttime shows.
Yes.
When I was there in October with Danielle, I spent two evenings watching Enchantment over at Magic Kingdom and two evenings at Epcot watching Harmonious.
Yeah.
I'll end every dang day watching Harmonious, just like we went and watched World of Color at Disneyland's California Adventure Park. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just that good, and it's worth it. So I like ending the day there. But Lori hit on our last topic of the day, and I'll let her go first for it. The last topic I want to ask y'all about is, and I hear this from a lot of people, Lori, they say that they have one day in Disney or they have 2 days in Disney because they're there for work, an event, or budget, whatever. And they, the question, I probably get this question more than anything else. What park should I go to? And I guess the easier question is, what park can I skip? You know, I've heard that from so many people. They can only go for X amount of time. What park should they skip? So, Lori, what would you say?
Skip Animal Kingdom. If you're only one day, Magic Kingdom for sure. That is Disney World.
So, and must do Magic Kingdom.
Must do Magic Kingdom.
And can skip.
You have to skip Animal Kingdom. But, okay. Oh, man, it's hard to pick because I want to go to all four of them. Like, even though I don't like Animal Kingdom that much, I have to go to it.
Yeah. Danielle?
Okay, that's hard because I really think it goes down to the person.
Okay.
If I'm talking to, I think in general, unless that person loves Star Wars, we're skipping Hollywood.
Yeah.
But if it's a family with kids, then I'm probably skipping Epcot. I love Epcot. It's one of my favorites. But if we're doing family with kids, those kids, as much as like they try to get them into it, you Epcot is more appreciated by adults. It just is. I love Animal, and my sister who does not like Disney, we sent her to Animal Kingdom because that's the one that she did for one day recently. Because I think if you haven't done Pandora, you need to do it. Right, Flight of Passage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, so I think that it depends on if it's a family with kids who want to do kids stuff, then you're skipping Epcot. If it's adults, you're skipping Hollywood unless you absolutely love Star Wars. If you absolutely love Star Wars, then you're skipping.
I agree with that, but so many little girls love Frozen now, and I feel like that's why they pulled Frozen over there.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's worth it.
It's hard. Yeah. Person to person.
Is your person
like Star Wars? Does your kid like Frozen? Like,
yeah.
Which one?
And I think that's an important distinction to make. That's what I would say too. My gut reaction is Animal Kingdom to skip because there's just not as much to do there, bar none. I mean, there's just not. I mean, that's why I think it's a half day park.
Going to be open when we're there. So why are we even going?
Everest is closed for the next 3 months or so.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And so I would say, especially if someone is not a big animal fan, I hate to think that in the world, not talking about any particular podcast co-host. If you don't like animals, like some people in my family, I won't name any names, but if some people don't like animals. So you know what? It doesn't make sense. And actually on both of my last trips in October and December, I did not go to Animal Kingdom.
I didn't know that.
And on my last trip in June, when I went on my big solo trip and was there for a few days by myself, I only went for a few minutes on my last day and got those pictures, which I'll be happy to share with y'all. I did that, my little wildlife picture thing. And I think you can skip it. But
Love Animal Kingdom. I can watch, we can sit and watch the gorillas for like hours.
That is pretty. I do like gorillas. I am not an animal fan, but monkeys and gorillas, they're pretty
cool. Like, I mean, we spend the whole day. Like, I spend the, I don't
really?
Think of it. Yeah, we love, we like the animals.
You watch the kite show? Have you seen the
kite show? Oh my God, that was a hot mess.
Oh, okay. Well, thank God.
I did watch the kite show in October. That was a hot, holy mess. And hot.
Yeah.
It's baking in the sun, besides the fact that it's a hot.
There are lots of people like you that love Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
It is a well done park. I will say that. It is well done. But it is a hot park.
Oh.
But it's well done. But I'm done with it in a couple hours.
And so I can't spend all day there. I've tried. I went on a trip with a friend one time and we tried to stay there all day. We couldn't. We were done by, I think, by 3. It closes at 5 a lot of times anyway. But I would say if you have a Star Wars fan, you have to skip Hollywood Studios. But if you're picking between the two, you know, if you like animals, go to Animal Kingdom and skip Hollywood. But if you have a Star Wars fan, you absolutely have to bring them to Hollywood Studios. No question about it.
100. I think if somebody is indifferent about Avatar and Star Wars, then you need to go to Pandora.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, if you're not like, I love Star Wars.
I totally disagree with that, because I think because Hollywood has Toy Story too. So, I mean, you're either going to like Toy Story. I mean, you're going to like Toy Story better than Pandora.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Because that Slinky Dog is a long line. In the sun.
But it's a great ride.
That is the truth. That's like the worst line in all of Disney World. With like how there's no
room. I just feel like Hollywood, MGM, is so like retro Disney that you have to go there if you have to pick out of the two. But I don't know.
Well, I hope everyone heard a lot of different perspectives tonight. I am so glad we brought Danielle in, because Danielle obviously gave us her honest opinions on things, and that is why I respect her and very much value our friendship. And of course, the same for Lori, as always. And so, y'all, I would love to do this again. Danielle, I hate to put you on the spot. Will you come back one day and do this again with us?
We would love that. Fun.
And if you
want awesome.
And if you want to tell people where to find you on Instagram, if you listen to our advertisement for this episode, you may have already heard, but why don't you tell people where they can find you and what you do on your Instagram page.
All right. So my Instagram is Manny, like manicure, M-A-N-I dot booked, B-O-O-K-E-D.
Manny is
booked. Did I say that right?
Manny
is booked. Yeah, Manny is booked. I'm like,
I can help you out.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for. It's Manny, period, is, period, and then booked. I was like, there's definitely two periods in there. And I couldn't figure out how it got
too much fun we're having. Can't even think.
Yeah. Anyway, it's basically a bookstagram. I do throw a little bit of Disney in there. I also love to do like at home Manny's. That's the Manny part of it. I paint my nails all the time. So it has some of my manicures, but mostly it's a bookstagram. But it's just a fun, like, I think, like, the current book I'm reading right now is actually a Disney book.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's like a retelling of, it's called Rebel Rose, and it's a retelling of Beauty and the Beast. Well, it's like after they got married.
Oh, huh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's like, has to do with, like, the French Revolution, too. So. Huh.
And if you want more information, you have to go to Danielle's Instagram.
Yeah, I'm going to go tonight, because I do like to read. I actually do like to read.
Yeah. So it's Manny is booked. It's just fun. It's just a little side thing, because I like sharing what I read and I like sharing my manicures.
And Danielle is a teacher, so we love teachers. It's a terrible time to be a teacher right now. So thank you to Danielle for being a teacher in this terrible time.
Thank you.
I love it. I have a great job.
Thank you for being a teacher. And Danielle is from our hometown as well. And so, like I said, we've all got that Southern charm about us. So Danielle, thank you so much for joining us. And to our listeners, we will see you next time.
All right. Thank you all for having me.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Southern Charm Magic.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under the handles of Southern Charmed Magic. Have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
Bye, y'all.